And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, a show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that if you are like traveling in your car right now and you get somewhere and you're like, man, I want to listen to the rest of that show, that we upload all of our shows to our website. You go to www.nagb.org.bs. And you can go to the Learn menu, scroll down to Adult and Public Programs, and find all of the Blank Canvas shows from the last, like, many, many years. So you can learn a lot about your Bahamian creative scene, but also you can listen to the show that maybe you just missed, or you thought it was so great, you want to listen to it again, or you want to share it with your friends. And while you're on the NAGB's website, don't forget to check out, like, what our upcoming events are. We are back open again. It is free every day to go to the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, irrespective of what nationality you are, so long as you are living in the Bahamas. We're still charging them, the tourists then. They still get charged. But those are the people living here. It is free for you every day, Tuesday through Sunday. We have exhibitions, but we also have events. We have pop-up shows. We have free movie screenings. We have all kinds of activities for kids, all of them very, very controlled. And with regard to social distancing, we're taking that very seriously. Your health comes first. But we have a huge campus, which is 80,000 square feet outside. And so there's a lot of space to be safe with your family. So check out what else is happening at the NAGB if you go to the website, and do come down and join us. I have Cachet Knowles on the show tonight. Cachet is the founder of Eyes of Bahamian Bay. We spoke a little bit before the break about her Instagram page where she educates, not educates, but clarifies. Well, I guess also educates and uplifts. Same mandate as the NAGB, educate, uplift, and inspire. And that's about our own Bahamian Creole. Now, I know a lot of us, we call it a dialect, but actually it's a Creole. And I think you kind of like recently learned like what that difference is. Do you want to share that with the audience? Because I think it's very interesting.
Right. So like, I mean, I think every person in the Bahamas have always referred to what we speak as a dialect, myself included. And even when I started this page, I was, you know, empowering Bahamian dialect. Up until like, you know, about a month ago, I spoke with a Bahamian linguistic professor at the University of the Bahamas. And she was just like, by the way, it's not a dialect. And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, it's a Creole. And I was just so surprised. But she, you know, informed me that basically a dialect is a variation of a language. So it's not an actual language. It's sort of just like a slang. And a Creole is a language that is made of two or more languages. And that's what we speak, because we have an actual dictionary that has like over 5,000 words in it.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not a bastardization of English, which is what we sort of were so long we were kind of educated about, is that it was like just English being spoken wrong, but it's not.
Right.
It's actually the marriage of different languages, of African languages, you know, with English.
So
yeah.
And that's the thing, and I think that's why we are not very good at being proud of the way we speak, because, you know, practically a lot of people's whole lives, you've been taught that the way you speak is wrong, and it's not validated, it's not recognized, it's no place for it in anywhere in the Bahamas except for in your home. And then even there, like, you're taught, well, when you go out, you know, in a professional setting, you can't speak this way. And, you know, for me, it's just like, well, why not? Like, even for me, like, right now I'm speaking very, like, quote unquote, proper, because it's something that I'm so conditioned to do. Like, it's very hard to break that conditioning. But I think what I'm hoping to do with Eyes of Bahamian Bay is sort of like change that stigma that we have associated with our Bahamian Creole, and so that the future generations can sort of not have this sort of struggle.
Yeah. And it's interesting, because I lived in Germany for a number of years. My husband's German, and they that actually does have a lot of dialects. So it's a country that's, you know, got many, many different counties. And it's a bit like, again, in Eleuthera, they speak a slightly different version of Bahamian right. Creole than they do in Inagua. That mm-hmm. would be a dialect. That would be right. like the differences between the islands are dialects of our Bahamian Creole.
Right.
And but the difference there is that and actually some parts of Germany, like you really can't understand somebody from another part of Germany. You're both mm-hmm. speaking German. You're both speaking German. But so there is a common, it's called Hochdeutsch, and it's like the common unifier.
Right.
So I think, but it's not seen as like it's better somehow. It's just like, listen, if we all want to be able to understand each other, we have to speak when we're together, you know, if we're meeting people from the different right. neighborhood, we speak this one.
Right.
And I just wish there was a way we could do that. You know what I mean? Whereas we like acknowledge Bahamian Creole. Mm-hmm. Cause if we want to be like this show is listened to internationally. So
right.
there might be people that aren't even native English speakers. They're French or they're right. German. And for them, it would be hard to understand Bahamian Creole.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not inappropriate to switch to whatever we want to call it, standard English.
Right.
Or whatever the term is, to make sure we reach the broadest audience possible.
Right.
But again, that shouldn't be that we're somehow ashamed of our way of speaking.
Yeah.
Or we think it's wrong. It's just another language that other people don't have the privilege.
Right.
or the skill to speak. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I definitely feel like it's sort of just sort of changing like what you feel is Bahamian Creole. Like mm-hmm. I think it's definitely seen in like the tourism industry. Like mm-hmm. the accent is completely, you know, when you're speaking to someone who's not Bahamian, it goes out the window and you know, the person puts on this voice
yes,
and this accent.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, man, I want us to be so much more prouder where it's like, we can tone it down, but like we still, you know, are able to still keep that authenticity.
Exactly. Like we'll still make a Kong salad for you. It'll have a little less pepper.
right, exactly.
But you're still going to get the authentic.
Right.
And experience. It's interesting because, you know, Jamaican patois is fairly well known globally.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's not the same level of, like you said, that there's a West Indian dialect, and that would probably call that a dialect, which is a version of their Creole, which the world is familiar with, but no one seems to be familiar with ours. So I think that's
right.
kind of what's important about the work you're doing is that you're
right.
making our Creole familiar to the world.
Exactly. And then also too, so patois is like way more developed than ours. Like mm-hmm. it's an actual, like, you know, I feel like we have a mixture between like several languages and we can interchange, but their own is like a lot more developed. And then also too, I feel like they have a lot of people that speak it,
yeah,
you know,
that's
on
true.
Professional
that's true.
Platforms, and then yeah. their music.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like, you know, people who are just like, nope, I'm just gonna speak the way that I'm speaking. And if you want to understand, you'll try and figure it out. If you don't, then too bad. Whereas I feel like, you know, a lot of Bahamians go on international settings, and we're very good code switchers. Like,
yes.
and we love to do it, and we're trained to do it. No matter what, like, even if someone is just like, speak in your Bahamian Creole, I'm just like, I can't.
Yeah, no, it's hard to do it on demand.
It's so difficult because, and then especially if I know that you're not Bahamian, even if I did want to like slightly do it, I'm not going to do it as, I guess, profound as I would if you were Bahamian.
It's true. And I think that's the same. It's interesting because, you know, my husband's German, but I can speak German to him, but it's very hard because we developed our relationship in English. And I think it has something to do with that too. It's like, you know, if you're speaking to someone that you've already kind of established a way to communicate with,
right.
it's really hard to like switch because you feel like you're faking it, even if you're
right. Not. Exactly. Like, and any time that I've ever been asked to speak Bahamian on cue, when I even like, if I do it, if I'm like, okay, challenge accepted, I'm just like, Heshe, you don't even know how to speak Bahamian. You sound weird. Like, you sound so weird. So I now I'm just like, no, I'm sorry. I can't do it on cue because it's just so hard to switch it.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're so conditioned to not speak Bahamian that it is so difficult to do it on cue or at all if it's not just casual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Now, speaking of like professional, like speaking professionally, you were just invited recently to some sort of conference. Or tell us a little bit about that. How did that happen?
So it was really cool. I mean, I've been speaking to a lot of different people like over the past 2 years about like what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. So I ended up, I guess one of my previous, you know, interviews with speaking in tongues with Elle from, she's from New York, but she has Bahamian roots, was picked up by this other brand, other, I guess, organization in based in, the, in London called Women in Languages. And they asked me to be one of the speakers for their conference for 2021. That was March, beginning of March. And it was so cool because, one, I did not know that there were people in the world that were just interested in languages. So it definitely opened my eyes. And it was just like, wow, like, you know, there's an audience out there that's not only like Bahamians, you know, that's not only me, you know, screwing up Bahamians all the time, being like, speak Bahamian, but people that like actually want to learn about what it is we speak and why it's beautiful. So that was really cool because I got to, it was like about 300 people that attended the conference. So instead of just focusing my talk on just Bahamian Creole, I basically got to, because aside from like me, like, you know, trying to, you know, change and break barriers with Bahamian Creole, I also try like, you know, open people's eyes to what the Bahamas is all about as well. So in my talk, I got to, you know, educate people about what they think the Bahamas is versus what it is. So like in the talk, I started out being like, you know, what do you think? What is the first thing you think of when, you know, you think of the Bahamas? And like, I had a photo of like a beach and I'm like, it's beautiful, but we're more than just beaches. We're more than just sun, sand, and sea. And so it was really fun to sort of just like have people like, wow, like, you know, junk canoe and like, you know, your language and the people and conch and like, you know, all these other things that I think don't get their rightful, you know, spotlight.
Not at all. I think we're seeing, and part of it, you know, it's our own doing, right? We sell a very flat image of the Bahamas, the world, and the images we sell. And, you know, to give full kudos to the Ministry of Tourism, they did just shoot a commercial focusing on female Bahamian artists. So we'll have like art, like fine art as part of the, but that's like the first time I've ever seen that, is that normally it's the beach, it's a bunch of like, you know, gray skinned looking white people needing a tan. And you know, cocktails and maybe some swimming pigs.
Paradise,
but but there's not a lot about, again, like, you know, the fish fry. When I say the fish fry, I mean the one under the bridge. I don't mean the, you know, and the true, you know, what we are, like what we playing dominoes, whatever it is.
Right. I was just going to say, why can't we have someone in a commercial playing dominoes? Like, you know, like, the authentic, you know, Bahamian experience. And I think that's another thing that I'm trying to do with Eyes of Bahamian Bay, which is share the things that don't get a spotlight in like the mainstream media. Because I feel like there's so many stories and so many things that, you know, deserve a spotlight, but it's just sort of, you know, overshadowed by beaches, the pink sand, the beaches.
And the pigs. Oh my God, if I see those pigs one more time, I'm gonna like you know.
Right. The pigs like literally came in. It was just like, we're going to now be the image
exactly.
of the
Bahamas. We are the image of the Bahamas and pigs. And I'm just like, no, please, man, please.
Right.
So I love, yeah, exactly. I love that like Eyes of Bahamians out there in the world.
Yes.
Show people a different side. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to another quick break, come back, talk about how this began. Like the shop, I know that you are, I think, the niece of Norma. Are you the Norma's niece?
No, granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about your roots and how that kind of came into this idea of t-shirts and fashion and selling, because I think that's a great story too and a lovely matrilineal line. We're here speaking to Cachet Knowles is the founder and creative director of Eyes Bahamian Bay, and that you can follow her on Instagram, and she's got a website as well, a lot of great products to buy. I know I've just got one, but I've got my wish list of the other ones that I want to have. I know that when I travel, especially, I love wearing them at home, but I really love traveling, wearing things that identify me, and I can actually start a conversation with people about what is that and where are you from? Because people can never figure out where I'm from because, Anyhow, we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back to hear more about Eyes Bahamian Bay. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.